He said, I cannot get over this urge to do it, but he said, I don't feel guilty about it anymore. That's sort of the way we are about a lot of things in life. If I knew your heart tonight, there would be a number of you sitting here with a block of ice that you carry around in a cold, dark place. Someone said that guilt is like a huge block of ice kept in a dark, cold place. It remains hard, but brought into the light, identified, and confessed, it begins to melt, and soon it's gone. When you start thinking about being free, getting rid of guilt, as this note says, getting rid of guilt frees the soul in a very special way. And you no longer have to carry that big block of ice. You don't even have to have a cold, dark place. And so we start thinking about what God has offered to us. Few people in this room, there may be a few, but few people in this room could really understand what David had gone through. You might say, well, listen, I know lots of people that have had affairs. We may know that. But do we know lots of people who went through everything that David went through? Here's a deceitful murderer who did those things because of the affair. There are people that do that in our world today. But David felt the guilt. You want to know how seriously he felt the guilt? Go back and read Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is supposed to have been written, many, many commentators say, before Psalm 32. And there's a big difference in the way in which the psalmist writes Psalm 51 versus the way he writes Psalm 32. When we start thinking about that, there's a lot of information on this slide, but I wanted you to share it and maybe read every word of it. Because some of you most likely need to understand the crippling nature of grief in a different way than you do. You got that big block of ice, and it's hard to carry around. It's cold. It makes you miserable. It bothers you. It hurts you. It's frustrating, and for good reason. This is from an article that I read. It said guilt is one of the most crippling diseases among people today, not just in David's time, but one of the most crippling problems that you and I face today in our culture. Psychiatrists and doctors say that unresolved guilt is the number one cause of mental illness and suicide. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it would make sense if it were, wouldn't it? That people who just feel so guilty, they don't want to live, they don't want to face people, they don't want to face life, and so they struggle to the degree that they do not want to live. Guilt prompts millions of Americans to gulp down pills, hoping to tranquilize their anxiety. It's a real problem. A psychologist named Roy Baumeister worked at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland. He studied guilt, and he discovered in his study that the average person, we've got some above average people in this room, I am confident, but I'm guessing with regard to guilt, we have some average people who are carrying that big block of ice around. Average person spends approximately 2 hours a day feeling guilty. I have felt guilty a lot in my life. How about you? I really have felt guilty about a lot of things, and we carry those things with us. There are numbers of things that we wouldn't want to tell anybody. We carry guilt if we aren't careful. And we spend time thinking about it. For 39 minutes of that 2 hours, people feel moderate to severe guilt. Just hard to get over what we need to get over. But you know what? God gave us guilt to help us. It's a constructive thing. It's not something that ought to tear us down. It ought to be something that would move us to do something good, to do something right, to do what David did. Could you write your own Psalm 51 about the problems that you bear and the difficulties that you feel, the suffering that you're going through? Could you do that? Could you write your own psalm? David could. But God did not provide us with the opportunity to feel guilty to hurt us. He provides guilt to be a blessing, to help us, to move us from where we do not need to be, from carrying that big block of ice around in a cold, dark place, to something that would help us out in the light, that would melt those kinds of problems. For the most part, guilt should be very constructive. Most all of us are hard-headed. It's hard to move us. But I think that most people in this room are what I call positive hard heads. That is, you're going to do what it takes. You're going to face life. You're going to face the problems. You're going to see what difficulties are out there. And you are hard-headed enough to hit it head on. And so I encourage you to be hard-headed in that sense. But to be so hard-headed that you have guilt and you have difficulties that you carry with you and you bear consistently and you are made to be sick, sometimes physically, sometimes psychologically. You see, that guilt is like an electric fence that we put up as a boundary. And if we start going beyond that boundary, it lets us know. One of the things that our safety commission has done on roadways is make that rough place over on the side and sometimes in the middle. And so sometimes if you zone out a little bit, you're going to get in that middle thing and you're going to be doing this until you correct. And all of you backseat drivers are very quick to tell the person that's driving. But you backseat drivers hate it when you're driving and somebody tells you the same thing. We see other people's mistakes and we don't see ours. But we have those rough edges there to let us know here is a great place to drive. That's not a good place and you're heading toward worse. And so we need guilt. Guilt is like an alarm that wakes us up, that says, don't go there. Stop going there. Change your life. Change your behavior and get your life going. We need that. We need that so much. I say very often, and boy, is it ever getting to be more the truth, I'm kind of wimpy. I don't like cold weather. Ethel does. She fusses at me every time it's warm, and I fuss at her when it's cold. But I'm a wimp in cold weather. I'm a wimp when it comes to a whole lot of things. If I had the pain that some of you do, I would be in some kind of nursing facility, and I mean that. Some of you have such pain, and it's constant, it's every day, and it's not easy. But pain is there for a good reason to tell us something is not normal, something isn't right, and we need to do something about it. So, guilt kills us in many ways. Meant to be constructive. So tonight, if you're sitting right in the very place with someone who's carrying one of those big blocks of ice in a cold, dark place, and you're full of guilt, what do you do about it? Here's God's message through David in this great psalm. Number one, admit your guilt. Look at verse 5. He said, I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I stopped trying to keep everything to myself and even away from God. I stopped trying to live like everything's going to be all right, even though I know it's not, and even though I'm grinding every day about my life and about my problems. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What an unbelievably simple start to taking care of guilt. Let God understand you from your perspective, he already does, but from your perspective, you tell him. That's what he wants. You see, if somebody comes to God in any form, in a public setting, in a private setting, you get down on your knees or you go down to the river to pray, you're not going to be telling God something he doesn't already know. He knows who you are. But he needs you to tell him you want to do something about the guilt and the pressures and the problems of sin in your life. So admit it. In Psalm 38 and verse 4, David said, "For my iniquities have gone over my head." I'm in over my head. Have you ever been in over your head? I'm there a lot trying to help people. There are people that have so many problems, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know which way to help them turn. But we keep working and we keep grinding and we keep trying. Iniquities, problems, difficulties, guilt has gone over our head. They're like a heavy burden, way too heavy for me. So step number one, if you are sitting in the place with somebody that's just full of guilt, admit it. First step in God's recipe through David. Second, confront your guilt. Look at verse 3. Guilt can affect us psychologically. It bothers us. It makes us difficult to deal with sometimes. It causes us to think in ways that we don't need to think. It causes us to treat people in ways that we don't want to treat people. It causes us to feel certain ways about people that we see, that we may have been involved with in some wrong way. Verse 3 says, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning." Here's this groaning all day long. A constant pain that's going to affect the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. It's tough. Secondly, guilt can affect you spiritually. For day and night, David said to God, "Your hand is up heavy, heavy upon me." Isn't it amazing how great we feel? Do you remember those of you that have been baptized into Christ? Do you remember when you finally made that commitment and you confessed Christ's name and you said, "I don't want to live the way I'm living. I don't want to be the way I have been. I want to be free from sin. I want to be clean." And you went down in the water with Christ and you were raised with Christ and you understood God had washed away your sins. Is that a good feeling or what? Guilt affects us spiritually. God's hand is heavily upon us when we are living a lifestyle or we have lived a lifestyle that is in violation of God's will, but we haven't done anything about the problems that exist between us and other people, between us and God. It affects us spiritually. And then thirdly, it can affect you physically. We've already looked at verse 3. My bones wasted away. That's a way of talking about being physically sick as well as psychologically ill. Guilt can affect you physically. My strength was dried up like the heat of summer, verse 4 says. We just can't get things done. Are you tired all the time? Do you grow weary of just thinking about life and about how tough life is? If you are that kind of person who has guilt like that big block of ice in a cold, dark place and you refuse to do anything about it, your strength is sapped by that and you feel God's heavy hand upon you and it is just like being worn out on a hot, hot summer day. So, coping with guilt. When you admit it and you confront it, you can help all of these things in your life, and you confess it. First of all, to God. Confess to God. David said in verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin to you." You see, we've already said God knows. You aren't hiding anything from God when you sin. You aren't doing things in the dark that God doesn't see. God knows everything we do. But David said, I acknowledged my sin to you. He openly confessed God. He said, I did not cover my iniquity. I wasn't trying to act like I'm something I'm not. I want you to know who I am and what I am. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. The Lord had drawn a line for David to live on one side of, and transgression is stepping across that line. He stepped across the line in his deceit. He stepped across the line in his adultery. He stepped across the line in his murder. And he acknowledges that to God and said, I'm going to confess to you what I have done. In verse 1, teaches us, when we confess our guilt to the Lord, here's his promise. His promise was seen in that great message Billy gave us this morning on forgiveness. That's what we need. And it only comes with our confession of our transgressions and our sins to the Lord. And if you've sinned against other people, you should go to them. That's God's message. Go to them. Well, it wasn't my fault. God says, go to them anyway. Your brother has something against you. Go back and read Matthew 5:24. It's not about who's responsible. It's about a problem between you and a brother. You go there. You go there. This means that God takes it away. It's not there anymore. It's like a burden that's lifted. He covers it over. You cannot see it anymore. It is like a perfect erasure. You know, I took typing back in the old days on one of those old typewriters, and we had to take typing tests, and we had to get 60 words a minute for an A. And with only, I don't remember how many mistakes, but you couldn't have many. I never got an A. I'm so impulsive. I could bang out probably 70 words a minute, but I would have 20-something mistakes. I could go get it with those numbers. It was just the wrong numbers. I could go get it with those letters. I just had the wrong letters sometimes. And those things weren't hard. I mean, were very hard to erase. Remember that old stuff you used to put in there and hit the key and it would white out the mistake, but you could still see it? What God's white out is a whole lot better. He removes those sins so that we can't see them anymore. He doesn't count it against us. It clears our record. The debt is fully paid and is canceled. That big block of ice in that cold, dark place that David carried for such a long time that gave him the feeling and the life that he experienced in Psalm 51 is now melted away. Blessed is the man, happy, deep down happiness that nothing can take away from you. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. David realized how important it was to get rid of guilt. So God puts us in a place where we can forget it. We can forget it. Now, what does that mean? Hard to understand God. We can't know God fully. God says he remembers our sins no more. I remember when Charlie Smith was at Oklahoma Christian College playing basketball. I played baseball, and after practice, his basketball practice, my baseball practice, we'd be in the gym, and Charlie and I would play some one-on-one. He's a big boy. I'm a little boy. His elbow is just right there all the time. Charlie, I remember those elbows bouncing off. I just about crushed his elbow with my nose several times. I remember that. Because I remember it, does that mean there's any kind of a problem? No. We don't even think about that being any problem at all. I look back and, man, it was fun. Believe in that? It was fun. I just kept going back. We kept going back. We kept playing. God, I think, it's just a personal opinion, hasn't gotten to be so forgetful that he doesn't remember that you once sinned. What he remembers is it's just not counted against you. It is wiped out. Your slate is clean. You've got a clean sheet, if you will. God is going to let you forget it. You don't owe any debt. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. I don't have to worry about it anymore. When David confessed his guilt, God shows us that David understood that suddenly, just like that, his sins that he had committed were gone forever. Cannot beat that, can you? Gone forever. That's the beauty of the word Billy discussed this morning. Forgiven. Sent away. Not here anymore. Sent away. Wiped clean and good. Great passage that we need to think about as we close tonight. If you're carrying that big block of ice and you've got it in a cold, dark place in your life and you're sitting there miserable, you've been thinking about it the whole time. It may be that you don't need to come to the front here tonight to get rid of that block of ice. You may need to confess it to the Lord. You may need to take care of it with an individual. It may be a spouse. It may be a child. It may be a friend at work. It may be an individual that you need to get rid of that block of ice with, but you need to do it. Admit it. Confront it. Confess it. God forgives it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Which sins? All of them. Every one of them. There's not a sin that anybody in this room has committed, but that if you turn to God, confess your faults, but that God will forgive you. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so we need to be grateful for that. And I'm encouraging you tonight, if you're full of guilt, if you're full of the hurt and the pain that comes from carrying guilt, and it really is to you like a big block of ice in a cold, dark place, get rid of it. If it takes a public response so that so many others know about your lifestyle and your problems and your difficulties, confess it to the group. Great. You have people here that love you. It's God's design for helping us and letting us help ourselves. We had a great prayer this morning on behalf of a sweet couple. It may be there's someone who wants to come forward for some other good reason. It's our hope, it's our prayer that if you desire and you have the need, please come. Let's stand and let's sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger.